Yeah, praise God. It's another good morning that God has given us to listen to his word. And, you know, we thank him for the grace. We are in the book of Acts, and we have been seeing the progress of the early church. We see how they initially were in Jerusalem, then they were filled with the Holy Spirit. And then the Bible says Peter stood up and preached to the multitudes, and then 3,000 people believed, and they were added to the number. Then they started living together, being taught the word of God daily, you know, following after the apostles' doctrine and being taught the word of God, and breaking bread together. And eventually they continued increasing. The Lord added to their numbers, and they you know, Paul, Peter and John heals the lame man by the beautiful gate, and that also draws crowds, and 5,000 people, you know, eventually out of that are added to their number. You know, they faced opposition from the Pharisees, from the Sanhedrin, from the Sadducees, the entire Sanhedrin, and they are warned against preaching the word, but they carry on. They say it is better to obey God than to obey men. But eventually what happens is persecution breaks out, and this happens when, you know, when Stephen is murdered. And remember when we introduced the character of Saul, the Bible tells us that he was consenting to the people who stoned Stephen, and he was the one who was collecting their clothes. He was the one who was arranging their clothes. And Saul, who later becomes Paul, describes himself as he was a Jew of the Jews, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, you know, of the strictest sect of the Pharisees. He was taught under Gamaliel. You know, he was, according to the law of Moses, he was blameless. And there was nothing that you know, according to the law of Moses, that he had failed. And he even went to the point of persecuting the church. And the Bible says that he was so serious about it that he will drag men and women to children. He will cause them to blaspheme, force them to blaspheme. You know, he'll cause them to denounce the faith. He will beat them up. He will even kill them. And he even went to the extent of even going to other cities that are beyond Jerusalem. And this is where we are today. And we are in Acts chapter 9, and we are trying to see this man Saul, and now we experience, and we're going to see his encounter with the Lord Jesus. And one thing I'd mentioned earlier is that whenever you see someone is so zealous in a religion, she's so zealous to the point of fighting other religions, then this is a person who is actually having zeal without knowledge. Because if you see such zeal, if it is just turned in the right direction, then there will be great and great tools and use in the hand of God. That passion or that desire, that zeal, usually shows a strong affinity or a strong desire, you know, to know God, because they just need redirection. You know, they've pointed their zeal in the wrong direction. And such people who, you know, go to the point of persecuting others, whether it is online, whether it is physically, whether it is beating, you know, seeing a picture, a clip, I think yesterday, of in one of the streets in Nairobi, where some preachers, two white preachers and a gentleman, were trying to preach in a community that is heavily of a different religion, and they started, you know, pushing them and beating them, and you can see they zeal in the wrong direction. And really Saul ideally was one like that he needed redirected zeal. His need needed to be redirected. But how does the Lord do it? The Lord has to appear to him. And remember, we spoke about the Jews. The Jews want a sign. The Jews don't just believe anything. And ideally, I will say Africans are like that. Because they want something. They want something to hold on to. You know, if you tell them the water is anointed, the bottled water is anointed, that is what they want. They want something tangible that they can hold on to, that this is what that is, that I can put my faith in. And unfortunately, we find that men of God will give them that apart from putting or bringing Christ to them, because Christ lives in them. Christ is in them. You need to teach that Christ is in the believers. It's not just in the man of God. It's not just in the leaders. It's not just in those who are anointed, but Christ, the whole Christ, Jesus Christ, the Spirit of Christ, is in every believer. And if we can just look to God, if we can just look within, if we can just allow the Holy Ghost within us to be free, to be set free, that he can do the work that he wants to do through us, then we shall see the mighty wonder-working power of God. And so we are reading in Acts chapter 9, the Bible says, then Saul was still breathing threats and murder and against the disciples of the Lord, and he went to the high priest and asked letters from him to the synagogues of Damascus, so that if he found any who were off the way, whether men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. I'll just pause a moment on that verse, because it introduces a name that the believers were starting to be called. Remember, initially there were disciples and converts, but then Acts chapter 9 verse 2 introduces a word that is being used to call them the way, people of the way. And here, ideally, you just take it back to Jesus when he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one gets to the Father except through me. Now, the way is used severally, and Paul is actually one who uses it severally, even like before King Agrippa or King Felix. He tries to tell him that, you know, how I persecuted the way and how I opposed the people of the way. And that is to tell us that, and I mean, think of even what the Bible says, that narrow is the gate and narrow is the way that leads to life, but broad is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. So few people find the way. So it's not that there are many ways. You know, nowadays we are in a world that believes there are many ways to God. Oh, Christianity is just one of the ways. There are other ways to Christ, other ways to get to God. But the Bible teaches us that there is only one way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So these were people who are of the way, and they were speaking of, you know, the road, the highway, the way to God. And that is how the believers were described. Later on, we know that they are called Christians in Antioch because they were like Christ. But at this point, it's considered a sect. It is considered a way, you know. So people who are of the way, whether men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. As he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly a light shone from around him from heaven. Verse 4, then he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And he said, who are you, Lord? Then the Lord said, I am Jesus whom you are persecuting. It is hard for you to kick against the goads. And the goads here is thorns. It is hard for you to kick against thorns or the pricks. And so he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what do you want me to do? Then the Lord said to him, arise and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do. And the men who journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice but seeing no one. Then Saul arose from the ground, and when his eyes were open, he saw no one, but they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. Now, it is so interesting that Saul's conversion is in the book of Acts is actually captured three times, because I believe the author or the Holy Spirit wanted to highlight to us the importance that God had to do to arrest. You see, this was an arrest by God. God had to arrest Saul and redirect him back to the kingdom of God so that he can turn and direct this zeal to the kingdom of God. Ideally, those that will be used mightily by God. And this is something that we speak of apostles. You know, when someone is called to be an apostle, we always ask, have you met Jesus? And they tell you, that's one of the things that we always say, that if the Lord Jesus has appeared to you, then he can give you the ministry of the apostle, and you are given a specific message and a word for the, either the church or your generation or a nation. There is a mandate that God places on your life that will be evident to all that God has called you. Now, it is interesting that when Saul asks, when the light comes and the voice comes, the Bible says Jesus asked him, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" And that for me speaks volume, because it tells us that we as the church are the body of Christ. And Jesus does not see himself separate from us. That means that which that happens to you happens to Christ. And he is concerned with anything that the enemy, that people might bring against you. And God is concerned. Jesus is concerned. And it is done to him. And that's why I said, whatsoever you do to the least of my brethren, to the least of my brothers, that you do unto me. That means when we, the things that we do to the body of Christ, the things, I mean, be it gossip, you know, be it fighting, be it anger, be it division, we must be careful how we treat the body of Christ, how we treat one another in the faith. Why? Because that which that we do unto others, we do unto Christ. And Jesus asked Saul, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" He does not say, "Why are you persecuting the church?" Now, I want us to just compare and just see what is different, that in the two other aspects of the conversion of Saul of that Paul gives. Now, in Acts chapter 22, which is the second part where Paul gives a witness of his conversion, and this is where he speaks before the Jewish mob, and in Acts 22, and maybe I will read from verse 6, Acts 22, verse 6, the Bible says, "Now it happened, as I journeyed and came near Damascus, at about noon, suddenly a great light from heaven shone around me, and I fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to me, 'Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?'" So we can see that in Acts chapter 9, the time is not given, and the light shines, but in Acts chapter 22, the time is given, that it was at about noon, a great light shone from heaven, and he had a voice saying, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" So I answered, "Who are you, Lord?" And he said to me, "I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom you're persecuting." Now, it's interesting that he tells in the second encounter, you know, he is speaking to a Jewish mob. Now, why is it important that he tells them that it is Jesus of Nazareth? It's because the Jews had rejected Jesus, and they knew the Jesus of Nazareth that he was talking about. I mean, in the earlier part, he's speaking to Gentiles, so he's like, it's Jesus. They really might not really understand what it means, Nazareth. But now in this part, he tells them, "I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom you're persecuting." And then the Bible says, "And then those who were with me indeed saw the light and were afraid, but they did not hear the voice of him who spoke to me. So I said, 'What shall I do?' And the Lord said to me, 'Arise and go into Damascus, and there you'll be told all things which are appointed for you to do.' Now, and since I could not see for the glory of that light, being led by the hand of those who are with me, I came into Damascus." And then he goes on to speak about Ananias, and maybe we'll look at that later on. So in this time, he's now told that the first time he was told, "Arise and go into the city, and you'll be told what you must do." And this time He's clear, he clarifies it. Arise and go into Damascus, and there you will be told all the things which are appointed for you to do. So there's an appointment that Jesus tells him that he is going to do. Now I want us quickly to look at Acts 26, which is the third episode that the scripture repeats the conversion of Saul or the arrest of Saul. In Acts 26, verse 14, okay, maybe we'll start with verse 12. The Bible says, while thus occupied, Acts 26, verse 12, while thus occupied, as I journeyed to Damascus with authority and commission from the chief priests, at midday, O king, along the road I saw a light from heaven, brighter than the sun, shining around me and those who journeyed with me. And we all had fallen to the ground, and I heard a voice speaking to me and saying, in the Hebrew language. So he clarifies further. And remember now, this is a testimony that he gives before King Agrippa, that he says that he heard the voice of Jesus speaking to him in the Hebrew language. That means Jesus spoke to him in Hebrew. Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? It is hard for you to kick against the goads, which are the thorns. And verse 15 says, so I said, who are you, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But rise and stand on your feet, for I have appeared to you for this purpose. So now he's trying to say that initially he was told what you must do, the things you will be appointed to do. But now I believe the vision got clearer. And that this is something that God does. At times you might get a vision and or a dream or an understanding, but you might not fully comprehend it that time. But as you pray into it, that's why when you have a dream, And you're not clear in the morning, pray over it. Pray in tongues, and let it be clear. And God clarifies it. And what does God clarify? The Bible says, but rise and stand on your feet, for I have appeared to you for this purpose, to make you a minister and a witness, both of the things which you have seen and of the things which I will yet reveal to you. Now, it's interesting that, you know, ideally people are called witnesses. Witnesses are those who will give evidence of the resurrected Christ or of what Christ has done to them. But when he says minister, it's going to be that you're going to be a servant. You're going to be a servant of the things that I have revealed to you, of the things that I will show you. That means that he's now not only being a witness, bearing witness, but he's also being made a minister. And this is really ideally showing part of the calling of Saul. And Ananias also gives more, you know, when he tells him that you're going to represent him kings. This is my chosen vessel. And we'll look at that later. But God tells him, Jesus tells him that for this purpose, to make you a minister and a witness, both of the things which you have seen and of the things which I will reveal to you or which I will appear to you. Now, this is why Paul is unique, because God shows him that, look here, you're going to be a witness and a minister of the things which you have seen, but I'm also going to reveal more things to you. I'm also going to appear to you in more ways. And you see, that's a place where people at times find limitations, because they don't understand that Christ is beyond our knowledge. I mean that there are things that he has shown you now, but as you stay faithful, there are things that he will continue to reveal and appear to you. And that is to tell you that you might have read scriptures before, but when you read them in another light, they appear to you. You might think that you know so much about God, but there's just a part that you know. But when you submit yourself to be taught, when you submit yourself to the presence of God, to the life of God, then there are things that he reveals to you that are beyond what you know. I try to tell him that for this purpose I appeared to you, to make you a minister and a witness of the things which you have seen and the things which I will yet reveal to you. And God gives him a promise. I will deliver you from the Jewish people, as well as from the Gentiles, to whom I now send you, to open their eyes in order to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me. Maybe later we'll be able to look at what was the mandate that God gave him, and this is something that we can meditate on later. What is the mandate? Now, he's given a message. First of all, I will protect you, and then I will give you a message. What am I sending you to do? To open their eyes. To open their eyes. Why are we sent by God? To bring people to the truth about the life of Christ. To open their eyes. Because men are in darkness. You're sent by God. What specific mandate has he given you? What are the unique things that you've seen in your life that tell you that this is what God called me to do? These are my marks. These are my vision. These are the things that he has clarified to me, that he has revealed to me, that I know that this is what I am supposed to do. Now, Saul had to be arrested in a significant way. It does not mean that everyone now has to see that light. Everyone has to encounter the Lord. Everyone has to encounter the angel. No, God works in different ways to call us. But you see, when people are stubborn, they need serious arrests. But if we submit ourselves to God, he is able to reveal and come and appear to us, and he will show us our purpose. The question is, as we cry for our purpose, are we faithful to obey it, faithful to do it, and faithful to move forward and not turn back? I'll stop there for today, and I pray that God will give us insight into this word. You're welcome as God leads you.
Thank you, Dr. Marvin, for the word, and it's quite clear. I think it's a good passage there that we see that indeed true salvation and comes by, through encountering with Jesus Christ. No one can save us other than Jesus Christ.
Mm.
That's one thing I see there. But I also see that Paul is a very good example of, God choosing the unqualified to make them qualified.
Amen.
And God choosing us beyond the weaknesses of our past, our present.
Yeah.
Because he sees beyond the physical.
Yeah.
So Paul has always been that great reference whenever it comes to leadership, it comes to God's choice of his people.
Hmm.
I think it's indeed true, because we see after that despite of all what he had done, he went on to do great.
Amen.
But we also see the aspect of obedience.
Yeah.
Because I know there are many people who may have faced that encounter but still remain disobedient to Christ.
Hmm.
We also appreciate Ananias, because if it were you being sent to meet the man who is known for persecution.
Yeah, you will not have gone, yeah.
So we need to be obedient. However, this uncomfortable, the assignment God has given us.
Yeah.
He has a purpose, and he has a reason as to why. He has entrusted us with that.
Amen.
So yeah, I would stop here with that, those few additions. Yes, thanks.
Amen. Thank you for that. Powerful additions. Yes, my sister. Any reflections?
Thank you very much, Doctor. From my side, I was just reflecting on the assignment that we are given to do, and how we can be able to be successful through it by submitting to the Lordship of Jesus Christ to lead us on what to do, and how we can be able to bring his purpose to accomplishment in our lives. Thank you.
Amen. Oh, and I love what you said, submitting to the Lordship and its importance on fulfilling our assignment, because Saul, the reason one thing that strikes me, he did not say, "Who are you, angel?" He just said, "Who are you, Lord?" And that Lord word is actually what brings us to salvation. Because there are many people who say they confess Jesus as their Savior, but they don't see him as their Lord. Now, the day you turn to make Jesus your Lord is when you are saved. When you are saved. That is the time when you are now useful to God. Then you become useful to God. Otherwise, it is more about you using God. God forgive my sins. I'm happy you have forgiven me. I'll go to heaven. Then the next time you play around, I'm happy I'm going to heaven. But the day you say, Lord, what do you want me to do? Then now you become useful to the kingdom of God. Let us pray. Heavenly Father and Lord, we thank you for your word that has come to challenge us, that has come to encourage us, that has come to remind us that indeed you call the likeliest of peoples, that indeed you choose those men have rejected, those who have even horrible past that do not think that they can be used by God, because you are the one that calls men and you are able to bring redirection to zeal. And I pray for brothers and sisters who are lost in their own way with zeal for the wrong things, that Lord, in your arrest, you're able to bring them to the truth. And I pray for knowledge, wisdom, understanding, that we shall submit to you as Lord. May we find our purpose. May we know you. May we be taught by you. May we experience you, O God. May we experience your divine protection, favor in the marketplace, favor in our families, favor with our children. I pray for open wombs. I pray for open doors. I pray for breakthroughs, O God. I pray for remembrance of them that are looking unto you. You are a faithful God. We trust in you. We depend upon you. Thank you for healings in this moment for anyone that needs it. I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Shalom. Blessed morning.